Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women in Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women in Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
What's up, everybody?
Hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are you?
And welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
How dare you?
I was going to say, what are you wearing? Is that sweatshirt? It says style. Okay.
It's John worked on this show called Clean House Comes Clean.
Uh-huh.
It was a spinoff of Clean House with Niecy Nash.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those,
like Niecy
you
Nash.
Know, gimme jackets.
And I like it. It's nice. Now, Stephanie's bringing it with her sweat jackets.
A lot of hoodies.
I know.
You know?
It's in style.
Hope I don't get shot.
You know what? You know what else is in style? We have a new sponsor, by the way.
Yeah.
Dagny Dover. They have bags, purses, clutches, really cute stuff. I went on their website. They were kind enough to send us their signature Land and Carry-All bag, which has all the stuff you need for when you travel. It's got the functionality, the style. It's got where you could put your keys, where you put your passport, where you put your iPod.
It's also waterproof.
iPhone. Yeah, and it's waterproof. It's perfect. It's really nice, and it's tough and durable, and it looks really great. And thank you, Dagny Dover, for sending it to us. And they sent us, also had us pick out a purse that we wanted.
And that's the Land and Carry-All.
No, the Land and Carry-All is what they sent us, which is the
oh, the Dagny Dover is the blue one.
Dagny
it's like
Dover.
It's perfect for the, like, a picnic.
Is the company. Yeah. They're the ones that sell all the purses.
Right.
And their Land and Carry-All is what they sent us. And then they said, in addition, we'll send you a purse. Go on the website and pick out – or a clutch or whatever. So they
did. And that's that gray one?
Yeah. So
okay.
I just picked out a nice-looking purse.
The one that – the blue one, it's like it's got that – it's made of that material that you would pack like that's like a.
It's like a.
Keeps
wetsuit.
Your drinks cool.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes, like a koozie. Yeah.
Yeah, like that you could bring to like the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes.
To watch a Kenny Loggins concert.
Right. Right.
If
it's
anybody
stretchy,
was kind
kinda.
Enough to get me a ticket to that.
So check out their stuff. It's really, really cute. And our listeners, if you like any of the stuff you see, which you will, you can go to Dagny Dover, dagnedover.com/FCOL, and use FCOL promo code to get 20% off your first order. And honestly, you're going to love it. I really like their stuff.
Yeah,
so
it's really
check
cute.
Check it out. It's really cute.
Also, before we get into, you know, heavier topics on the show,
mm-hmm.
Brandless.
Yes.
You want to get the good brands. You want to get organic, non-GMOs. Did I already say organic? Whatever, you're nut-free, you're vegan, whatever your thing is, your specialty is, you know, why pay like $5 for stuff mm-hmm. when you could pay $3 for everything?
Right.
So you want your organic ketchup? $3.
Mm-hmm.
You want your non-GMO peanut butter? $3.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing. It's all the things you usually pay crazy money for. But for $3.
Yeah.
And they have household goods, beauty stuff, food items. So go to brandless.com and use the promo code HELLO.
Hello.
Hello. And you'll get free shipping. No, I'm sorry. Close to free. $1 shipping on your first order. So you can order a whole bunch of stuff and everything will get shipped for $1.
Yeah.
You know I love that.
I know. Can't beat that with
Yeah. I'm a free or cheap shipping hoe.
That's right.
So do it. Brandless.
And also, have you guys gotten your tickets to San Francisco's Cobb show, by the way?
I hope you guys come.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so fun. Our first live show.
Yes. You guys can't miss it.
But our first was kind of experimental.
Yeah. It was at a bar or a restaurant.
Tin Horn Flats. Yes.
In Hollywood. And that was fun, too.
Really fun.
It was packed, and we had a great time. And after the show, we talked to people. It was a really good time. And San Francisco is going to be it's going to be off the chain,
yeah.
as what's-her-name said. You'll see a slideshow behind us of pictures
yeah.
of us from the 80s.
Music.
Yeah.
Laughs,
yes.
Q&A,
mm-hmm.
drinks.
Maybe rapping a little.
Purple drink.
Mangria, endless rant. So come on down. Come see us. Go to Cobb's website, buy tickets, or you can click on the link on our Facebook page.
Yep, on either of our Facebook pages.
Yep.
So what's happening this week? So producer Gary.
Yeah, it was a big weekend.
He tied the knot.
I mean, think about that for 1 second. Remember producer Gary?
How long have we been doing this podcast? When we first started, he was a baby.
Yeah. I asked him.
He was a young teen.
He
was like Elby's age.
I know. I said, he had braces on. I said to Gary, how old were you when you first started? He said, like 24.
His balls hadn't dropped yet, I don't think.
But I feel like I'm responsible for Gary because everybody says that. I'm responsible. No, but I feel like I am because he sent his resume in a few times and nobody ever looked at it. Finally, they called him because we needed help. And he went to Adam's live shows and gave Donnie his resume twice. Finally, it got found in a pile of papers. They called him. They brought him in. They interviewed him. They hired him to work on my show, my mommy show with Teresa. And we did his first thing was a mommy makeover on a Sunday where we spent a whole Sunday at a spray tan salon with this mom who won the contest. I don't know what she had to do to win.
Our show could not be more different.
Oh, my God. It was so different back then. I mean, we had Teresa, fine. But, we talked about what happens if your baby poops green, you know, and breastfeeding. So Gary had to sit and listen to all this. And he's a 25-year-old dude. And he did everything. He worked hard, put his head down. He worked hard. And that Sunday, he helped in the beginning, but I kept looking at him sitting in the corner and he's looking at his phone the whole time. And I said, how's it going? And he goes, oh, good, good. You need something? He stood up. And I go, no, sit down, relax. I go, what do you, he goes, oh, it was Sunday football. And he goes, oh, my team is in the playoffs or something. And I was like, go home. What are you doing? It's 4:00. Why is he still here? I was like, do we still need Gary? No. Okay. Let him go home. Then I talked to him, I said, what do you want to do? He said, I really like the Adam Carolla show. Someday I would love to be a producer of podcast. And he knew his shit about podcasting back then, which was 2011. And not a lot of people really knew what the podcasting. He knew everything, the analytics, where to find ratings, where to find the downloads, and so he iTunes, and I was like, this guy knows his shit. Like, he should be on the Adam Carolla show. And now, look at him. He's producer Gary. And he got married.
He got married. And I remember when he first met mm-hmm. his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so cute about it. I think he always had – I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. He'll never listen to this. But I feel like he had a thought she was a little bit out of his league. he kind of – because she kind of had her shit together.
Uh-huh.
She was, I think, a little bit older than him mm-hmm. and just had a life.
Right.
Like had a apartment.
Yes.
Had – a right. job,
right.
had a career.
Super smart, super funny.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think he was like, oh, my God, what is she doing with me?
Right.
Like, I'm kind of a mess living with a bunch of guys, you know? So
yes.
I think he got scared.
That's right. He was living with Matt. Yeah.
Kind of early on and mm-hmm. was like, uh-oh, am I ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember him being like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're scared. And he's like, I don't know. I'm too young, you know? And then the next thing I knew, it was like that he was – a lot of men go through this, I think. He was sort of on the cusp of like either shit or get off the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Either this is really going to be something. His thing was like – he was like, I know she's not putting any pressure on me. She's not saying it. But I know that like she – like
right.
I either need to
– She wants to –
She's going to want to get married mm-hmm. and have kids.
Of course.
And I don't know if I can do it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember – just the fear in his eyes of like, I don't think I can do it.
I know.
I don't think I can.
Yeah.
I really love her and she's beautiful and everything I want, but I don't think I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh no, he's going to break up with her.
Mm.
And then the next time I saw him, he was like, oh, everything's great.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, good.
Yes.
And then it was full steam ahead.
Right.
From that moment that it was like,
right.
That he was at that crossroads.
Yeah.
Then he was like full steam ahead.
Then every time you saw him, like, how's it going? Yeah, Joy is great. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
They moved in together.
Yeah.
Brandon, how did they meet? Do you know?
I believe she's a For Crying Out Loud listener.
Oh, that's right.
And then reached out in one way or another.
That's right. That's how Gary was getting chicks back then.
I know. And he had that one that was like long distance.
Right.
That he was like, I think she like came out to visit and she was weird.
Mm-hmm. I think that he
right?
got in a fight.
She was really
moody.
Like possessive
uh-huh.
and young.
Right.
And I think that's when he met Joya. He was like, oh my God, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
This person is like mature.
She's too good to be
like
true.
Like a normal person yeah. that I don't have to take care of her
right.
in that way.
Right.
Of like, she's
right.
like a kid.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I mean, he was into Joya right away.
Yeah.
I remember because when I met her at the party mm-hmm. at your house,
mm-hmm.
he just would glow around her.
I know.
So tell
us
about the wedding.
It was so great. If anybody wants to see pictures, because I cannot load pictures on my phone. It takes forever. I don't know why. There's something up with I can't text people pictures sometimes. Anyway, go to Gina Grad's Facebook page. And her page is public. And she's got pictures of the wedding. And she's got this one picture of Joya dancing with her father or I think it's her stepdad. And Gary's in the background. And the look on his face is priceless. And I'm telling you, when he walked down the aisle, so first of all, we got there and all these guys are there dressed up. And you're never – it's always like a – it's a little jarring when you see Kaylin in a suit and tie at first.
How was that, Kaylin? Did the fabric like burn your skin at all?
It was great.
If you can find a picture, Kaylin, of you guys, like
I will look on Gina's.
Okay, like Dawson and who else was there? And Gina and Bald Bright, like them dressed up. Matt Fondelier, who was in the wedding. They're all just dressed up in suit and ties. Was really cute to see. Then we sit down. And the wedding's about to start, and I keep going, where's Dr. Drew? I know Drew's coming, but I don't see – and Susan Pinsky was texting me like, what are you going to wear? What da, 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 da. There's Gina. There's – we're looking at pictures of the
aww.
Wedding. So there's and there's Matt Fondelier walking down the aisle. So I was like, where is Dr. Drew? Well, it was a surprise. Drew was the officiant –
He was?
Yes. He married them. I don't know if there's any – there's Drew. But, yeah, he came out and he was – all of a sudden it was like Dr. Drew was up there going, all right, everybody turn your cell phones off. It was really a sweet ceremony. I got emotional when I saw Gary walk down the aisle with his mom. And then when she came out, I couldn't help it. I got teary-eyed. I don't know. I'm sappy that way. But it was a really quick ceremony and – Drew made it funny. Like he said a couple things that like made people laugh.
Did Dr. Drew use it as a live podcast?
People were like, oh, so he is a real love doctor. But yeah, no, he did a great job. And I think
it was
his first
intervention
time.
For anybody.
No, it was his first time. Well, Gary's parents do drink a lot. So maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I know. I don't know. Gary's parents are a lot of fun. They're great people. He's got a great family. I'm happy for them. It was a fun-ass wedding. We had a great time. Everybody was dancing. That's the picture. You could see Gary back there. If you zoom
yeah.
in on your phone, you could see his face. Everybody had such a great time. It was one of those nights that – so I was at a table with Dr. Bruce, Dr. Drew, and Mark
– Garagos.
Garagos. But his wife wasn't there because she was like off in Mexico with her girlfriends. I don't
wow.
know. Yeah. He just flew in from being with Kaepernick. So he had like that window to come into town, and he just came straight. He was like, he was wearing tennis shoes or something in a suit.
That guy is living a lot of life.
I'm so jealous.
You know,
of him.
I love him.
I know he lights up the room.
It's not like a romantic crush, but I have like a charisma crush on him.
Yes.
Like he does. He's just like so full of life and opinions. And I don't care if somebody fully disagrees with me. I just like it when people have like I like it when – this is the thing about Garagos. Mm-hmm. He could totally disagree with you, but you know he's like a moral – fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know he's kind of taking the piss out of you.
Yes.
Like, so he can insult you, and it's fun.
And it's
and funny.
Right.
It's like you feel like you're debating mm-hmm. in a fun way, that he's not taking it too seriously or getting angry.
You know what you're saying? Exactly. I was at Sonny's football game yesterday, and Adam's off to the side, and he's yapping with the dads, like he does, and he's chewing their ear, and I could hear him talking, and he was saying exactly what you were saying, and then I walked up, and I go, "You talking about Garagos?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he's the guy that you always want on your side, first of all, but he's just lights up the room. He's got that smile. He's like, "Hey," you'll never, ever go up to him and go, "Hey, Mark, how's it going?" He'll go, "Ah, don't talk to me. I'm busy," or, "I'm so exhausted." He'll be like, "Hey, great. How you doing? Awesome. How you doing? What's going on?"
Well, I love that I can take the piss out of him about Scott Peterson.
Yes.
And he never gets mad at me.
No,
like,
he doesn't.
And it's become like a joke where I go Scott Peterson's guilty. And he's like, "Oh,
yeah.
No, he's not."
I know.
And he laughs.
Yes. And him and Adam are a great team because they argue and they disagree on things, but they don't argue. They debate. And you know. And he's just such a great – anyway, it was a lot of fun. I was at their table, and then next to me was Gina and Brian and Dawson and Kaylin and everybody. And Jay was there with his girlfriend, Alex. It was just – everybody was all smiles. It was one of those nights. And music started, and the first song was what's the name?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Oh.
No, the first song for everybody to dance was
Uptown
Funk. And
go the rest of my life without hearing that song again.
You sound like my husband.
It's the hackiest song.
He hates that song, and it was like an attack on Adam. It was so funny because even though the song started, it felt like the whole room had that record scratch, like, and everybody looked at Adam and looked at Gary and looked at Adam, and everybody was, and Gary's like, "I just had to get it out of the way. I had to get it out of the way," because it's known that Adam despises that song.
I went to the last wedding that I was at. We did a flash mob, right?
We did
a flash mob for the, whatever you call that. Yeah, when you surprise them with a dance.
Yeah.
We all had to learn it to Uptown Funk. And I was like, I never, ever want to hear this song again.
You know, it's not that it's that. I hate it too. But it's just sounds like it sounds like it's in the middle of a song. There's no crescendo. There's no and it repeats. It just doesn't sound like anything. His other stuff. He's talented. I think he's a talented
Bruno
guy.
Bruno Mars is incredibly
extremely talented.
I like a lot of his songs.
Yeah,
say he's more talented than Justin Timberlake.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Better
I don't
dancer.
Know that I don't know him that well.
He's
but.
Not as white as Justin Timberlake.
Wow, that's a shame. Yeah.
A shame that he's not as white?
I don't know. I just like anyway.
So, but you missed Natalia's play.
I had to miss Natalia's play. But you know what? It was fine because there's something that happened. I don't think I should talk on air about it.
Could you do a Patreon about it?
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
Okay. Save that for Patreon then.
Okay. But she did a great job. She was great. You know, it's a community play. There's a million kids in there, and she's in the teen cast now. She stepped it up to the teen cast,
right?
But she's low man on the totem pole. If she would have stayed in her sixth grade class, she would have been she would have had a bigger part. But she wanted to be in the teen cast. I don't know. All her little friends wanted to be in the teen cast. Anyway, so her part wasn't big, but she was in a ton of scenes. They did a lot of choreography, which I didn't expect, really. She doesn't tell us too much. She sings a lot at home, but there was a lot of singing, a lot of choreography. The story was great. And the best part.
Did you write a letter to the company
power,
and tell them that she wasn't in enough?
Oh. Yeah, I know. I should have sent an email. How dare they? No, the best part, an hour and 20 minutes running time.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Les Mis, was two plus.
Was Lei Long?
Lei miserable. Oh, God, it was way too long. But anyway, we couldn't go the next night, and she was fine with that, though. She was
Olga
like,
went?
Yeah.
Oh, Patreon?
Yeah.
Was any drama at the wedding? Anybody get in a fight? Anybody, like, get drunk?
No, everybody was buzzed. I had to stay sober. I just drank a couple glasses of wine because I was driving, and it's an hour and, like, 40 minutes drive.
Yeah.
So
where was it?
Laguna.
Oh, okay.
Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was really a really nice place. The food was really good. But it was fun because I was, you know, sitting outside smoking a cigarette with the guys and everybody's like just buzzed. And Kaylin, see, I don't know. Our audience doesn't really know Kaylin. If they watch
he's so quiet.
If they watch the Wednesday live show on Facebook, they'll know a different Kaylin. But there's another Kaylin that comes out when he's buzzed.
Uh-oh.
And he does this.
This is true.
He goes out. He's famous now for
it. You're not drinking right now.
Well, I wasn't. I was leading up to the wedding. I was waiting to have a drink have him at the wedding.
Right. So, like, at the Christmas party.
Did you make up for lost time?
Yeah.
At the Christmas party, and there was a couple other parties we've had in the past, he goes outside and he smokes a cigarette, and, you know, Dawson's out there, and everybody goes, like, congregates outside in the parking lot. And Kaylin does a stand-up. He, like, tries a stand-up routine on us. And so he'll start doing it. But it turns into a heckling stand-up routine, because he'll start saying something, and then somebody will go, like, somebody's girlfriend will go, wait, that doesn't make sense. Hold on. You said, what? And then he'll be like, I'm getting to the point. Like, first he's calm about it. He's like, no, just hold on. I'm getting there. Don't interrupt. And then he'll go, and then somebody else will say something in the background, and they'll go, you just stepped on my joke. Like, so now it's become, let's go outside and irritate the shit out of Kaylin while he practices his stand up on us.
They love to heckle me. This is
you
true.
Need some heckler lines.
Yeah.
he's got them now. Yeah. He's used to it now. It's the funniest.
You need your version of, like, hey, I don't go to McDonald's and knock the fry machine at fry
right.
super out of your hand.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll use that one next time.
You got to say it a little better than I just did.
He sounds like, God, his name's on the ticket of my, the guy that died going to Vegas in a head-on.
Sam Kinison?
Yes, thank you. I knew you'd know. He starts to sound like that because he's like, I should, like, he starts to yell. He gets so irritated. His face gets red. And it's so funny. And I don't even know what his stand-up is. I don't even know what he's saying. I'm just now thinking of shit to yell out at him.
I love it. Are you going to try to do stand-up, Kaylin?
I want to, yes. I still need the courage to get up on that stage. But I have a couple bits that I've worked out in preparation for when I finally do.
It took me the first time I ever did stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know how you guys would do it.
I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I really wanted to do stand-up, but I was way too scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that my roundabout way to get up the guts to do stand-up would be to do improv, right?
Right.
That was my big idea. So I went to this place called the LA Connection that had what it is really, it's a bit of a scam because you pay to join. But it seems like it's going to be like the Groundlings. You have to audition, but everybody gets into the starter class that costs money.
Right.
So anyway, I auditioned, and I was so nervous, you know. And then I got in, and I was like, you would have thought I won an Academy Award. I was just like, oh my God, like, I got in.
You First like time, me.
Horrible at improv. Horrible. I found this out later. Tis terrible. Like, I don't do accents, as you know from knowing me for this long.
Yeah.
Not good at accents. Not good at, you know, because everybody in improv is, like, constantly trying to put a little extra on it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I know,
if you're in a scene, they're like, but I'm going to be like a bum, a hobo with an Irish accent.
Right.
Who's drunk.
Right.
Who's, and then give me a situation
for
this person.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a plane. I'm your flight attendant. Mm-hmm. And I'd always be like, why can't I just be me?
Right.
Like, I'll just say some funny stuff.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to do any extra. But there was a girl in my improv class who was doing stand-up, and I was obsessed with her. Uh-huh. I was like, I just wanted to know everything because I was too scared to try it. I don't like the unknown, and I just didn't know what it would feel like to be up on a real stage at a club mm-hmm. trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. Especially
– that's fucking scary.
Always having not been – never being popular. Like, I was never somebody that people were like, you're funny. You should be on – you know, mm-hmm. so I didn't have a good belief in myself. Mm-hmm. So – but I was looking at this girl. I remember her name was Sally. Mm-hmm.
And from the Valley?
Sally from the Valley. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she's not that funny. Like, mm-hmm. And not in a way of like I was judging her, but I was like, if she can do it.
Right.
Like, she's like the same funny as me.
Right.
And then she was like, yeah, you should go to an open mic. So then I wrote a little routine. It was mm-hmm. like 3 minutes worth of jokes.
How old were you?
23.
Oh, my God.
But I'd already lived in L.A. since I was like 18.
I was so nervous. And
I was so nervous. So then I would go to this club called Yesterday's mm-hmm. in Westwood at the time. Mm-hmm. And I would drink. And I would like have a few drinks. I put my name in. And I didn't get called the first few times. And then finally, one day, I think the guy said, you're going to get picked next week. So they would – it was like a lottery. You could draw names at the beginning of the night from all the people that wanted to go on stage, and then they would make a list of who made it onto the list. And I didn't make it on the list the first few times uh-huh. that I was thought I was ready to do it.
Okay.
But you find out
– random. They just draw the names and whoever
they draw the names. Okay. Like say like 40 people want to do stand-up, but they have room for like 18.
Right.
So then whoever gets picked goes on the list. So you come back the next week, put your name in again. So but then you know if you got on the list. Mm-hmm. So the day I get on the list, I see my name there, and I was like, oh, shit. And I just started drinking rum and Cokes.
I don't blame you.
I probably had 6 rum and Cokes, but I didn't even feel drunk because I was so nervous that it wasn't even enough to cut through my nerves. Mm-hmm. So I remember the whole thing very crystal clear.
Did your friends, anybody come to, like, support you? Or?
I don't think so. Think they tried to come the first couple times, I believe.
And but then like, it was like, picked, so.
I'm not getting picked. But I had made friends at this point with some of the other comedians. Okay. So they were being really nice.
Okay.
I remember there was this guy who most people probably haven't heard of. His name's Sully McCullough. Mm-hmm. He's like a writer guy now. He was there. He was super nice. I'm trying to think if there was anybody who's famous now.
Josh Richman, the guy that always had a cane. He was like super cool, but he always had a cane with him.
I don't remember who that is.
He was like an up and coming, try stand up be kind of guy.
So this was my opening joke. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of my. So I said I've always had like big boobs or something, and the worst is when you're walk down the street and like people just yell stuff out. Mm-hmm. Like I go the other day, I was walking and this old man was just like, hey, nice tits. Your tits are big. And I was like, thanks, Grandpa. That was the joke. Horrible, right? Huge laugh. So I don't know what's going to happen. I have that. That's my opening joke.
Yeah.
I had just really simple stand-up jokes, but totally memorized. I had this joke that was my gym. So I worked out at this gym Bally's Holiday Health Spa. Uh-huh. And at the time, so they had a men's side, a women's side, and a co-ed mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know, I've ever worked out at Bally's gym. I go, they have a men's side, a women's side, and a co-ed side. I go, which is like awful because like if you work out on the men's side, everybody's going to think, oh, if you work out in the co-ed side, people are going to wonder, like, are you there to work out or are you just there to, like, meet guys? So
right.
I work out on the men's side, so there's no question of why I'm there. That was a joke.
That's okay. Cute.
So I had a couple of jokes like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was so scared because I was just like, what if I go up there with my big dream mm-hmm. of being a stand-up comedian mm-hmm. and I just get no laughs. Like, I'll be so crushed after wanting to do it for so many years and going through all this trouble, like taking a stupid improv class. Like, after all this, if the world goes not funny, then I'm going to be totally crushed. Mm-hmm. Like, my dream will be crushed. Mm-hmm. I can't see myself as, like, getting up from that and trying again.
Right.
But I got total laughs. There was a bunch of frat guys in the audience. And they were laughing, and I was checking out their faces to go, like, are they laughing at me? Like, right. Are they making fun of me? No, they were laughing, like, laughing.
Right,
like,
right.
Looking at me with that approval.
Right.
Validation of, like, you're funny.
Yeah.
And then people came up to
and
me a little
nice tits.
And they nice tits. Kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was, like, the greatest night.
Uh-huh.
Because I was,
that
like.
That was the one night?
The first the time first I'd time. Ever done stand-up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
they were,
cool.
I got a lot of laughs. Mm-hmm. And then I proceeded to bomb many, many times after that. But I'd had that initial.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I think I can do this. Like, mm-hmm. Then I would just blame the audience.
Yeah, yeah,
later.
The crowd sucked.
Yeah, I was like, you should have seen the crowd at yesterday's. They totally got me.
Right.
Yeah, I
See?
Think it's a great thing to do. It became, for me, it became like, I don't want to die and have never tried stand-up.
Right.
Like, I can't let that much more time go by, because I just need to try it so that if I'm terrible at it and the world doesn't like me, I'll move on with my life and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they love me, then I'll be a comedian.
Right. See, that's the thing. You have to just push through, even though you want to try something, and it applies to everything. It's scary, but you got to just keep pushing through. I mean, I've seen it happen many times. So, Brandon, are you going to
Yeah, I'm going to get up there one of these days.
You still haven't done it?
Nope.
Not once? You got to just bite the bullet and do it.
Yep.
All right, you can practice on us if you want in the parking lot.
Do you ever
lot.
Go hang out at open mic nights and just see what people are doing?
No, not much. Just because since I moved back to Woodland Hills, I got to like drive over there and take care of my dog. And then I get there and then I don't want to leave again. But luckily, I just recently got a new car and I love driving around. So that's giving me an excuse to get out the house again once I get back.
All right. What about Dylan? He's doing stand-up too?
I saw him do one joke at one of the Corolla events, but that's as far as I've heard of him doing his stand-up.
I sort of imagine Dylan as being like a Larry David type on stage, that he would just get mad at the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be like
he'd
you know.
Do some really couple really dry jokes, and the audience wouldn't be sure if he's joking, and then he'd be like, ah, fuck you.
But he would say it like that. He'd be like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. He'd be all
quiet. Yeah, and then people would be like laughing, because they'd be like, is he joking?
Right.
And he'd be like, no.
You guys are idiots.
Yeah.
You don't get my jokes. Your IQs are too low.
Yeah. He'd do that with the hand over the over your heads.
Uh-huh. We got a lot of good – we got a lot of some funny people around.
Listen, let's take a quick break and
yeah,
tell you
talk about
– and interject a couple of our sponsors like ZooLily.com, where you can get something special every day. You know what this is? This is a site where every day – they have a bunch of stuff that's 70% off. And of
no
course,
other site does this, right?
Not that I know
yeah,
of.
This is
no.
It's cool.
Yeah,
it's
so
cool.
You can like check in every day and be like, at 6 a.m., they start adding sales, and you can be like, oh, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's expertly curated collections. And they're typically on the site for about 72 hours. So if you see something you like, you got to get it right away.
Right.
So you go on there and you join, and then every time you sign on, it's just you're already in there, and you can see like, oh, this such and such that I've been waiting for is on sale, or oh, I love this brand, you know? So you can get great deals on big brands that you love and new ones that you'll adore. For a limited time, if you use the gift code FCOL20, you'll get 20% off your first order. So you go to ZooLily, that's ZUlily.com/FCOL20, and then use the code FCOL20 for your discount. All right.
Nice.
So go there and check it out and get yourself something.
Go get yourself something nice.
Also, while you're redecorating yourself, redecorate your house, you know?
Like Stephanie did.
Like I did. Got my new couches.
Mm-hmm.
If you're putting off getting new stuff for your house and decorating like I was for a long time, maybe you need some help from Havenly Interior Intervention. Here's the thing. Havenly is the most delightful way to design spaces in your home on any budget. So this is what they do. They partner you with an interior designer to create a beautiful design based on your style and your space. And then you can buy what you love directly through their platform with access to hundreds of retailers and guaranteed best prices.
Yeah.
I love this.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to try it.
If you are looking at your space and you're like, I want a new couch.
Yeah.
But I'm having trouble figuring out the exact design for my space.
Mm-hmm.
you could send them pictures of your space and your personal interior designer will be like,
I have a room.
You know what you want? You know what you need?
Mm-hmm.
And here's how to line it up.
I love that. I'm gonna do it because I have a room that's empty and I need to make it into my office. And it's just like – it just has – it's Sonny's old room. So I still have like pictures of LeBron James up on – not LeBron, but whoever up on the wall. I need to do something.
Yeah. So do it. Try Havenly today by – here's what you do, Lynette.
Yes.
Visit Havenly, Havenly.com/FCOL and get 25% off your design package.
Okay.
That's Havenly.com/FCOL for 25%
off. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep you guys posted. Thank you guys, by the way, for using our sponsors. That's very nice.
Absolutely.
It's very helpful. We appreciate it. They appreciate it. And everybody wins.
We're all winners.
So, nextdoor.com.
Uh-huh.
After everything you did, I was like, oh, my God, that story was hilarious about the headache, the migraine.
My migraine.
So, okay. So, the other day, Sonny comes home. Natalia's at theater rehearsal, and he pulls out his updated sheet of missing assignments, constantly missing assignments, nonstop missing assignments. And I'm now irritated. I've had it. I was like, this got to stop. How are we going to do this? This has got to stop. So anyway, I can see from the pattern of the missing assignments that it's math, and he's not under, and her too. And coincidentally, the math teacher is the one that I'm not fond of.
Mm-hmm.
They're not grasping it. And I think it's because they don't want to ask. They're just afraid to ask, and they're afraid to. So they continue on like as if they kind of know how to do it. So they're just kind of winging it as they go, but they're not grasping it.
Exactly.
And they need to grasp it. So I'm okay. It's tutor time now. Enough is enough. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go on nextdoor.com. 3 hours later.
It's tutor time. It almost
I got
makes you think that it's like beer time. Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
Which is, it is kind of.
It is. I got
It's sucked. Tutor time, motherfuckers.
Right.
Time to pour a drink.
I got sucked
and call
in.
Over a math teacher.
Oh, my God. But on nextdoor.com, I was just like, what? There's a coyote on our street the other night? Or look at that. Maybe I should buy that for my office. Or, there was one where this woman was, she was like, you know, my husband and I's whole long soliloquy, or I guess is maybe you could call it, of her talking about how they moved to California because they wanted her kids to be outside and to play outside. So they got this structure for their outdoor so the kids can go outside in the front. Their backyard's too small, but they can go in the front. Somebody complained. And next thing I know, the person, a person from the city came over and said, an ordinance, it's an issue, it's a fire hazard issue or something, and a neighbor complained, and you should take it down. And
what?
She was like, thanks a lot, neighbor. I don't know who it was, but thanks a lot. And then she had all these people supporting her, and then people were outraged. Then people were fighting with each other.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite thing ever.
Oh, my God. Like, it turned into like this. She's just like, I just wanted to vent. Next thing you know, 80 comments later, like, there are people are arguing with each other. They don't even know each other. And they're just like, Jeffrey, you know, I fell off one of those things when I was a kid and I broke an arm. What if one of the kids, neighborhood kids, what if it happened to them? They do have a point. You know, my kid could go over there and break an arm. Like, and then, like, Ann or whoever will go, shut the fuck up, Jeffrey. Did you really hear yourself? You could break an arm anywhere. I mean, they just were going at, they were turning in on themselves.
I know. John was just laughing last night about how people will get so mad about anything on the internet. But you could take the, like, an actual thing, mm-hmm. like, say, Trump supporters versus non-Trump supporters.
Right.
But then you could also argue over, you know, somebody needs to rake the leaves off the sidewalk. Like, that, I mean.
Like, how dare you?
How come we don't have a beautification project mm-hmm. for the sidewalks in front of your house?
Right.
And then people will go to town on each
other. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was, so, honestly, like 2 hours, because all I wanted to do was look for a tutor in our neighborhood.
Right.
I was thinking I want to get like a nice high school kid that lives in our neighborhood. He knows the, you know, the curriculum. He know he's been through the system. He probably knows the math pretty well. That's all I wanted, like a tutor. But now I'm like watching people argue, and I just got sucked in. And by the way, Sonny comes over and he's like, "Can you sign this? I need you to sign this for me." And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I go, "Oh, I'm looking for a tutor." And he goes, "It's been like an hour and a half. You said you were going to come right back." I go, "Hold on. There's a fight going on. I'll be there in a second. I got to see what happens with Jeffrey." No, I'm so ridiculous.
I can't wait for you to get something reported. Oh. So this is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I went – okay, so there's a play – there's a this is good podcasting.
I'm
such a professional broadcaster. There's a tire place in my neighborhood called Star West Motors.
Okay.
And I have been there before a couple of years ago for an emergency because I ran over a nail.
Right.
And I went there and they were able to plug my tire. And I was like, "Oh, this cool."
Is good. No.
And I went there, I don't know, a couple years later, and they did it again. It was $20.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was like, I thought this tire was destroyed, but this guy, and there's a guy, his name's Aram, A-R-A-M, who's the owner of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been there like a bunch of times, and I'm like, this guy is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's old school mechanic,
right?
Which I had one of these, but it was in Santa Monica, where not trying to screw you, trying to give you the best deal possible.
Yeah.
Where you can tell he's like, this is kind of on the line, but let's not try to make you buy a new tire.
Lot of places would do it. They would say, "Oh, you need to get a new tire."
Oh, yeah, especially these places like if you go to a tire shop,
right,
like Firestone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to save you money.
Mm-mm.
They're trying to get you to buy a tire. So then the guy, I went there because long story short, I was told by the dealership that I had this issue with the car.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it to him on a whim, and I was like, "What do you, you know, I need to get such and such fixed. Do you do this? I'd rather have you do it than the dealership." And he was like, "Yeah, but let's make sure that's the actual problem first. Then he checked. He was like, that's not the problem. That's not what's causing this. And then he showed me, like, just like an old school person who's like, "Look, if you look right here, you can see that blah, blah, blah. So if I fix this, I would charge you a lot of money and it wouldn't actually solve your problem. But what I'm going to do is this, and it's going to cost you less money. And this is the actual problem."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I go home. I'm like, "I'm so glad I found you. It's so easy to rip people off and a mechanic, but I really, you've always helped me with my tires. Thank you so much."
Mm-hmm.
I go home and I post on Nextdoor, and I was like, "I just want to tell you guys about this Star West Motors."
Right.
I went in there, and the guy who owns it, Aram, was like, "This is what happened," and he totally okay, somebody reported the post because they thought I was doing a commercial for him. They accused me of, like, trying to promote his business.
And so what does that have to do with them? The person reporting, how does that affect person?
I don't know, but they were like, so then one of the quote-unquote leads, so they self-elect people to, like, police frickin' Nextdoor.com, sends me, "Somebody reported your post, and we're going to have to take it down because it's a violation of the terms because you're working for Star West Motors." So then I write back, and I'm like, "I'm not working for Star West Motors. I literally went and had – the guy was so nice. It's in our neighborhood.
God.
And I'm just telling people about my experience because people need mechanics all the time.
Of course.
Like, and I'm just – I don't have any affiliation. They're not paying me. I got nothing out of it."
Right.
And so then they're like, "Well, sorry. The only way you're allowed to talk about a business is if somebody says, 'Can you give me a referral for a mechanic?' Then you can put down your referral." Okay, so you know that from then on, I was like hyper aware of, I see people talking about businesses all the time.
Yeah.
Or selling themselves.
Right.
Or being like, "I have a business, and if you come in, I'll give you 20% off."
Right.
Then I get all mad. Like, fuck them.
Right.
How dare you?
Right.
Like, then I want to report them.
Right.
Every one of them. But I don't, because I don't want to be that person.
Right, right.
But
right.
Now I'm like mad all the time. Every time
but
I go on there,
ridiculous.
I'm triggered from my
Aram
at Star West Motors
experience.
Oh, my
God. I don't blame you. Well, see,
And then Aram, because he lives in the neighborhood, went on there.
Mm-hmm.
And because somebody was like, you're not allowed to do this. And then Aram went on there and was like, I don't know her. She's a customer who came in. Why is she not allowed to say that she had a good experience at my business?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what you should do?
Are you trying to cockblock?
Everybody's fucking insane. You know what you should do? John should go on there and post, like, I need a good tire or a good mechanic. Anybody know a good mechanic in the area? And then you should go, hey, I do.
Oh, my God. Then I should write a really long post about my experience at Star West Motors.
Yes.
Thank you so much for asking because right. I happen to have a great experience.
There you go. I swear to God you should do that. Just fuck with
them. People are so ridiculous.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. It's crazy. It's insane.
I love to get in little arguments with people on there. Like, what people complain about the dumbest stuff. Like, mm-hmm. they'll complain after the fact, like, somebody was, they had some event at a high school mm-hmm. that's in our neighborhood, kind of far.
Right.
I mean, it's not right in our neighborhood. I guess they lit off some fireworks, and people went ballistic. That was one of those infighting things where they're like, these people at Birmingham High School need to it's not allowed to light off fireworks because the animals in the neighborhood, my dog was so upset about fireworks and like, you know, we know it's coming on the 4th of July, but how dare they on a random day light off fireworks? And then, of course, there are a bunch of people that were like, I think you're absolutely right. How dare it? Like, you know, they go crazy.
And then there'll
be somebody else that's like, seriously?
My God.
Have you run out of problems?
I mean, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. If we all just run out of problems that we have to fucking be insulted. There's this one person that was like, anybody in the neighborhood know of a good rodent inspector or what do you call them?
Exterminator.
Exterminator.
Thank you. Yes, I have. I think I have a rodent problem. The first couple posts was like, "Do not put any of the poisons that they sell at this. It could kill the local animals. The deers and the raccoons could eat it and die. It's killing off. So, please." And the guy was like, I just asked for a referral. Make sure that person is eco-friendly. Eco-friendly. Don't hire anybody that's got that poison that can kill.
Right.
Just settle the fuck down. You have nothing else to do but to go online and watch out for the person that's asking, does anybody have a rodent killer around? Like, really? Jesus. And that woman, that poor woman that wanted to vent about her thing, it was like, and then finally at the end, she was like, all right, guys, I didn't mean to, like, start shit. I just was venting. I appreciate all the support. I really appreciate it. Sorry about your leg, Jeffrey, when you were a kid. But like, can we all just settle down? And then there's always the ones where it's like, I got someone came to my door and asked me if the owners were home.
Oh, I know. That's
and
the
then
best.
They looked over my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I just pretended I wasn't the owner. Like, no, they're not home right now. What do you need? Oh, well, I'll come back. I'm just doing a survey. And another person was like, yeah, I know that what they're doing. There's a survey going on about something with the Department of Water and Power. It was like legit. But like this one paranoid
person. Oh, then
they'll
show you a picture, though. They'll be like, was this the guy? I captured it on my ring.com.
Right.
And then they're like, and it's like the back. It's like a silhouette of the back of somebody.
Away.
And then someone else will say, that's the same guy. Was he wearing a yellow jacket?
No.
Yes. That guy came to my house, too. Oh, my God. He's casing out the neighborhood.
Scoping out the neighborhood. Yeah. Everybody. Oh, my God. Yeah. Lock your doors.
Listen, heads up, everybody. Somebody came by and said they wanted to paint the address
uh-huh.
on my curb.
Oh, watch out. Watch
this
out for those
scam.
Maniacs.
Yeah.
They're axe-wielding crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I love the ones that get super mad that people go through the recycling
bins. Oh, come on.
And they're just like, I don't know, but I don't like it. It was after 10 p.m. Somebody came by and they took cans out of our recycling bin.
How dare they?
How dare they? You know, that's the city property, right? As soon as you put it in the bin and then somebody else will be like, well, it's not exactly the city property. Mm-hmm. If it's out on the curb,
right.
It's not actually your property
right.
anymore.
What
and then
do
they'll
you
be
care?
Like, why? I don't like it. I don't like these people coming by. They're up to no good. And then they're up to no good. But they're trying to collect your cans and turn them in for money.
Right. I know.
They're trying to make 10 bucks
yeah.
by not standing out on the corner yeah. asking for 10 bucks. But
yeah.
they're so mad. I want those cans to
and
go
what,
to the
what
dump.
Does it, yeah, what Like, what does it – does? How is this affecting you? It's 10 o'clock at night. You're inside your house. Does it really – who gives a shit? Even if it was 5 o'clock in the evening, who gives a shit? Like, the guy's just taking cans.
Well, people have decided that anybody that's homeless – this is the thing. It's
right.
The homeless battle in our neighborhood
gone
crazy.
I know.
With the camps of the – all homeless people are just drug addict alcoholics.
I hate that.
Trying to like steal money, and they're going to like come and shoot you in the face.
Right.
And then there's the other people that are like, can we not just group everybody that's homeless? Like, there are some homeless people that are down on their luck.
Right.
No, they're all drug addicts. So then that's where they go to. If anyone's in my recycling bin, they're probably also doing a drug deal right there.
Right. Oh, God.
Like,
you know,
if they were selling drugs, by the way,
yeah.
I don't think they would need your cans.
Right.
They'd probably be doing pretty well selling drugs.
Right. I know. I was, because I'm such a no-getter, I've always thought, like, I want to be on the board of cleaning up the homeless and helping the homeless in Los Angeles, but I'm just don't know where to begin. I drive through, like, you know, when you get off the 5 freeway. Anyway, there's like it's not Tent City, but there's a lot of homeless underneath.
Right.
And it's tragic. And why are our city's not doing anything about it? And it upsets me. And I really like I say to myself, I'm going to go home and I'm going to Google. I'm going to find out how we can help, what I can do to help. And then, you know,
then you don't. You're like, there is a new Dateline.
They'll be okay.
It's good that I haven't seen
somebody's
before.
Helping them. I know.
Well, there are a lot of services that do try to help the homeless, but it's a deep rooted problem with how we think about homeless and how we treat the homeless and how the answers that we put together.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think about my brother. My brother could easily be homeless.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's schizophrenia. If he wasn't on medication, he'd be wandering. Same with my mom before she died. You know, it's so sad. And our city just doesn't do fucking shit about it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, the problem is, I think part of the problem is because of the judgment that they assume that everybody is, like, dangerous and on drugs or alcoholic. And they're just trying to get money for drugs. But the fact is that we all know that a large portion of homeless people are mentally ill. And that
they don't know what to do with them.
Right.
You know, I think that they don't. I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's not enough manpower to help to get out there to you know, start these, you know, maybe. I don't know.
There aren't a lot of services. There aren't a lot of outpatient. There isn't a lot of services that people can get referred to.
Right.
There just isn't.
Yeah. Like, I worked at the homeless shelter for teenage runaways when I volunteered there. And they would take vans out at night. I never went on these runs. But they would go out at, like, after 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night and look for underage children and bring them to the shelter. And I thought, I don't know, like, I always think, like, it would be so nice if we did that for – if we had manpower to go on the streets and have people, like, just go out and help them. You know, you see these documentaries sometimes of one guy is, like, you know, doing it, is determined to help, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, you see these Vice programs, or there was this one documentary. I don't know. I think it was a Lisa Ling documentary. But, like, there's always just one person. We need, like, dedication, you know. I don't know. It's really sad. I hate it.
We sort of need to also be of one mind that people with mental health issues need to be helped.
Right.
And not.
And drug people with and drug addicts, too.
No, fuck them. No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
You know, I mean, it's we just I hate our city. Our city officials are idiots. They're just.
Remember, I told you that story that I used to work at this place called the Chrysalis Center. Because we talked about this a long time ago. And I worked at one of these homeless places, too, that helped people find jobs.
Uh-huh.
Like, helped homeless people get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very young and, like, idealistic. Mm-hmm. And I would go in. And then what you would do is you would sit and you would help them with their resume, right? But it was like they would hit on you.
Right.
That was the, I'm saying they, like they all right, of them. I'm right. not trying to group them all together. Right. I didn't do it for that long, but
you got
the
hit
men would just be like, what's going on?
How about I just get a sugar mama?
Yeah. You looking good.
You need your lawn.
You want to go like get a drink? Like, and I'd be like, no, well, like, let's work on your resume. Like, mm-hmm. let's look on a job site for you. Like, and they'd be like, those jeans fitting pretty good. And I was like, oh.
How about I work for you, baby?
I would leave, always leave kind of sad.
I know. I don't know. Maybe there is an organization in LA that we could help.
Yeah, I want my kids to come, like, work
too.
At a food pantry. Mm-hmm. Or so there's a – so my kid's school is at on a church.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week they do a food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth graders, one of their projects is mm-hmm. that they have all the fifth graders do a shift at this food pantry.
Right.
It's so great. Right. Elby, mm-hmm. When Elby did it, I did it with her. And I had Sadie and Xander come help too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They loved it because the people are so nice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every single one. I'm not grouping mm-hmm. everyone together. But in general, they could come in, the homeless people, or just if you were mm-hmm. really poor, struggling.
Right.
They would come in and we would get all this like day-old food or stuff that Trader mm-hmm. Joe's – that's mm-hmm. not gone bad, but
right.
that Trader Joe's can't
right.
sell.
Yeah.
And – or – grocery stores, produce, mm-hmm. you know, a few day old produce. And then the people could come in and they could fill up like a bag.
Right.
And so all the kids would be at a station
mm-hmm.
and the people would come through and they'd always be so nice. Like, oh, can I have like both mm-hmm. one of these or both of these? And then they'd be like, yeah, go ahead. You can have one. And they'd be like,
right.
oh, thank you so much. And they'd come in and they're just trying to feed their families.
I know. It's good for the kid. I really want the kids to do something to help with me, too. I remember one time it was Christmas time and they were like 8 years old, I think. And they got these toys. And I was like, you guys are not going to use them. Can we like give them to people that need them? And I went online and I found like a homeless shelter, and it was by Home Depot by the Children's Hospital over there.
Uh-huh.
And I called and I said, I have, you know, you take in families, right? Yes. Okay. But I said, I have children with me. I would like to bring and drop these off. Sure. Okay. So I bring them and they said, okay, can you walk through? Walk through the office to go drop it off in this little area. And we did. And it was no kids were there. It was all like older, shuffling around older people. And my kids were totally confused going, what are these? These guys aren't going to want to play with Legos. Like, I go, but sometimes they didn't get it. They were just like, it wasn't at the right time.
Right.
So I need to find like an organization that I could bring the kids. Hathaway Sycamore, they do that. I should call them, actually. But see, I get so overwhelmed. And then you're right. There's a new Dateline on.
I would like my kids to understand. I was actually having this conversation with Elby today about like finances. Like mm-hmm. what? Because I said, you know, we live in LA. Mm-hmm. I said, and we're not poor. I was telling her that I grew up poor.
Right.
Like you didn't go out to dinner.
Right.
I mean, it was a big treat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big treat. Once a week, we had pizza. Mm-hmm. And that was, I was like so grateful
you
that we ordered
like Adam.
Pizza.
It's exactly what Adam says.
I mean, I had two pairs of shoes mm-hmm. that I got, two pairs of shoes a year,
mm-hmm.
one pair of sneakers and one pair of like party shoes,
mm-hmm.
like Mary Jane shoes that I
right.
could. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't like, oh, I just saw some cute sandals at TJ Maxx. Mom, I really want these.
Okay.
It wasn't like, oh, let's just go to Chipotle and get takeout
right.
again tonight.
No.
It wasn't like that. And I said, but, you know,
deal.
The thing is, it's tricky. I said, because, you know, we live in L.A. Our house cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if we lived somewhere else and we paid, you know, I mean, our house, $500,000,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
which is what we paid for our house.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere else in the country, especially at that time, would have bought us a big, nice house.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't do what we do somewhere else in the country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it makes us very middle class
mm-hmm.
to have, we're in tight quarters,
right.
you know. I got two kids, a boy and a girl sharing a room.
Right.
We're all kind of together.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to explain to Elby, I was like, but we're doing fine.
Right.
I said, but when you hear about, because this is how it started. She was complaining not really complaining, but they were talking about how the different kids that are getting invited to all the kids are getting bar and bat mitzvahed around this time. Elby's age. She's 13. She's going to a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs. And some of the kids aren't inviting all of the kids that they know. Some of them invite everybody.
Right.
Right? And some of them are having a smaller thing. And I was like, because here's the thing, Elby. It appears that we all have money because we live in Los Angeles. And like
– everything – you're all – everybody's taken care of.
Right. I said, but the truth is that like – a lot of people are struggling, and it's not that easy. You don't just – you can't just have a lavish party.
Right.
I said, so when you're not invited to something, I said, you need to like – people need to be more mindful that it's not a personal thing like, oh, you're being excluded.
Right.
It's that some kids are only going to invite their closest friends.
Of course.
And that's because like you're used to just – kind of going to Chipotle on a Tuesday because we feel like it.
Right.
I said, but not everybody lives that way.
Right.
And I said, and you know, I certainly didn't grow up that way. I was just trying to instill a sense of like,
I know it's hard
where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Adam, he does this. He's like, he gives them this whole speech a lot. Like sometimes on a Saturday night, Adam will say, do you guys want to go out and eat? Yeah. Okay, and Adam will say, let's go to the Chinese restaurant. And they'll both go, oh, no. And he'll go, are you guys fucking high? He didn't say that to them, but he'll say, like, really? Really? You've got a lot of nerve. Like, when I was your age and my mom or dad said, let's go out and eat, I would be like, hell yeah. I don't care where we go. Red Lobster, bring it on, you know?
But it's all what they're used to. That's the thing.
Right.
And what they see all their
friends
doing.
And he gets so mad. He gets so mad at them.
But it's hard to be mad at them. That's why I tried to give Elby just a little perspective of like, we are living high on the hog compared to how I was raised.
Right.
Living in an apartment with no money, with pizza was a big treat for me.
Yeah.
And I want them to feel like, oh, it's pretty nice that we go to Target and if I see a pair of shoes I like, my mom might buy them.
Right.
At the same time, I want my kids to be mindful that like,
those shoes are
$30, but it's not only $30. It's that's $30.
Right.
Like, we're not rich.
Right. No, I know. It's tough.
Speaking of being a homeowner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
If you do, if you're lucky enough to own your own home and you have some gratitude about it, you want to protect it.
Yes, you do.
And you know what you should use?
ADT.
You with me, Kaylin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ADT is helps protect against break-ins. I personally have ADT. I pay for it myself. You know,
it's another thing on my list to do.
Yeah, it's you get a code so that you can set your alarm.
Yeah,
when you leave, you can turn it off. When you come back home, if anybody tries to get into your house, the cops are going to be called and they're going to rush.
All of our houses have ADT.
I feel safer when I set my alarm with ADT,
especially when you have kids at home alone.
Now you can have ADT Go, and that will include a family locator, automatic check-ins, safe driving reports, and it even includes an SOS button with 24/7 emergency response. So go to ADT.com/podcast to take advantage of their lowest rate. All right? Do that.
And
Kaylin, you want to read the legal?
Yeah, hit that tagline for me just because.
I just did.
Oh, I must have a separate sheet. Okay.
Go to ADT.com/podcast to take advantage of ADT's lowest rate.
Kaylin.
With 36-month monitoring contract, early termination and installation fees apply. Excluded taxes and fees applies to traditional services only. Certain markets excluded. Licenses available at ADT.com.
All right.
Hey, join Patreon, you guys. We've been doing some juicy stories on Patreon. It's where we go to talk about the stuff that we can't talk about on the main show.
Right.
This week's should be fun.
Yes.
And if you are a $50 a month subscriber, I'll shout out your business. Like Letty Molina, who's with does Hemp Works CBD oil. Letty Molina's getting her money's worth.
Guy.
On this thing, a lot of people are coming to her for their CBD needs. Just go to hempworks.com/L Molina. Kristen Ross is with Babierge, B-A-B-I-E-R-G-E, and they will pimp out your home, your hotel room, your car with baby stuff if you're in San Diego. Go to babierge.com/Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-119. Sarah Dean hosts the Shameless Mom Academy podcast. She helps moms find their identity again after motherhood. You can check out her show at shamelessmom.com. The Sip and Shine podcast is another parenting podcast, and you can go to Sip and Shine podcast to hear all the personal talk, and she's going to be a guest on our podcast next month.
Nice.
The Wayne Foundation helps get girls out of sexual trafficking. Go to WayneFDN.org to help them out. Your donations are very much appreciated. Kate Marengo has an interior design service called Interior Chicago, but she can help you anywhere in the country.
Nice.
That's our girl, Kate. Go to interiorchicago.com/interior-design to find out more. Tish Clevenger,
she will
add 30 fruits, vegetables, and grains to your diet in just one drink.
She'll make you healthy.
Yeah. Go to Clevenger, C-L-E-V-E-N-G-E-R .juiceplus.com. Shelby Mullen has a business called Woof and Wild, and they sell handmade dog bandanas, and $1 from every sale gets donated to various animal rescues and organizations. People can check them out at woofandwild.com. Karen Minami has an online jewelry shop called Dexter and Monkey. She creates really cool jewelry for men and women. Go check her out. DexterandMonkeyCo.etsy.com.
She has cute stuff.
Yeah. And I'll do the rest on Friday's show.
So check us out on our Facebook Live page on Wednesdays at 7, Corolla Drinks. And do we have an event? Oh, the Hooters event.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're doing Hooters. Us and the Lackeys will be at the Costa Mesa Hooters on April 8th, this Thursday, whatever this Thursday's date is. So come down and say hi to us. The Endless Rant will be flowing. I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
This shit, that ice cold Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot, hot damn. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot, hot damn. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot, hot damn. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot, hot damn. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh!
Stop. Wait a minute.
Fill my cup, put some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Right to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop, skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. A dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Bitch, say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch.
Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck, said and flown it. If you freak, dead and own it.